this morning on my left taught me how to love. And anybody who is the object of whatever depth of love I have today owes a debt to that little lady. She taught me in the classroom of theory how to love. And then she took me to the laboratory and showed me what love was all about. I was counseling with a couple recently, and this is often, far too often, what it is. And in this case, this is the case. The wife was not affectionate. She was just not affectionate. It had caused marital problems. And the wife said to me, "I can't help it." Of course, I don't believe that, but she said, "I can't help it." She said, "Where I grew up, we had no love in our home." Now, in the first place, that's not true. It may be no expression or little expression of love. But every time Mama cooked a meal, that says, "I love you." Every time Dad goes to work, that says, "I love you." Every once in a while, some teenagers say, "Well, my mom and dad never show their love to me, their affection to me." Every time your dad sweats a drop of perspiration on the job, he says, "I love you." Every time your mama makes your bed, cooks your meals, cleans your house, washes your clothes, she says, "I love you." Now, I don't think that's enough. This little lady said, "There's no love. Mama never told me she loved me." That's sad to me. I've never talked to my mother in all these years since I was an infant. I first learned to talk. I've never talked to my mother personally or on the telephone without ending by saying, "I love you, mother." And she says, "I love you, son." It's always the case. Always has been. And by the way, that's the heritage that every child has a right to get. When you say, "It just comes awkward for me," then do it awkwardly. "Well, it's not easy for me." Well, it's time we decide to do things that are hard. Anyway, she said, my mother never told me she loved me. My dad never told me he loved me. And I'm married not knowing how to love, and that's why I'm not affectionate to my husband. Fortunate is that man who marries a girl or a young woman who has told her parents, "I love you." Fortunate is that young man who receives a bride who has placed her head on Daddy's shoulders time and time again and said, "I love you, Daddy." That's rehearsal. I told our daughters always, I said, "Look, when you do something to me, that's rehearsal. I mean, the big game, the Super Bowl is going to come up one of these days. But now, rehearsal." You're in the Super Bowl now, aren't you, Stan? And, yes, sir. And, so, but I told them, I said, "We're practiced. Kiss Daddy when he kiss him goodnight and tell him you love him. That's practicing to kiss somebody else goodnight someday, which is a whole lot more fun than kissing Daddy." And then that young lady, now follow me, that young lady takes that love that she's exchanged with Mom and Dad for 18, 19, I'm sorry, 20, 21, 22, and then she takes it, and then she's learned how to love. And she takes that love at the altar, and she says, "It's yours. What is it?" She's been honing her love for all these years that she may turn and give it to her guy. Hey, the love that God gives to you this morning comes from a happy home. God the Father and God the Son loved each other for eternity. Never was a time when God the Father and God the Son didn't love each other. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God," or "the Word was toward God." And God the Father and God the Son loved each other. Deity loved deity. Perfection, loving perfection. Perfect love, loving perfect love. And perfect love reciprocating perfect love. And God loving God. And purity loving purity.
And back yonder, folks back yonder, before the world ever was, way back yonder, there was only God. And by the way, that's one reason why you couldn't talk me to even having 1 second's patience with these oneness people that don't believe in the Trinity. Let me tell you one of the great proofs there's the Trinity. God is love. And love must have an object. And if in the beginning there was only God, which there was, if there was only one person in the Godhead, then God did not need to be loved because there was no object of the love of God. And one of the great proofs of the Trinity, where it says God is love. And back yonder in eternity past, God and the Father loved the Son. Get this now. He loved His Son, and He loved the Holy Spirit. The Bible speaks about the love of the Spirit. And the Son loved the Spirit, and the Son loved the Father, and the Spirit loved the Father, and the Holy Spirit loved the Son. And all of those eternities and eons, there was this love, deity loving deity, and deity loving deity. And God the Father, loving God the Son. And God the Father, loving God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son, loving God the Father. And God the Son, loving God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit, loving God the Father. And God the Holy Spirit, loving God the Son. Can you imagine the quality of that love? And after, in the fullness of time, God made man. And God took that love, honed in eternity. God poured that love to you and me. Don't you ever say again, nobody loves me. Don't you ever say it again. For eternity, this love has been honed. Now, God offers it to me. Hey, this is what it is. Brother Colston, stand up here. Do you good to wake up anyway? You're God the Son, and I'm God the Father. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here's God the Son, and God the Father. I love you, Son.
I love you, Father.
I love you dearly, my Son.
I love you very dearly.
And in eternity, they were turned toward each other in perfection, loving perfection, and holiness, loving holiness, and justice, loving justice, and mercy, loving mercy, and compassion, loving compassion, and goodness, loving goodness. And that eternal love, they were the Word was toward God. And then after eternity, in the fullness of time, God the Father turned toward the Son. Then God turns from the Son and turns to the whole universe and says, this amazing love honed in eternal chambers is now for you. It's ready. It's ready. It's finished. It's prepared. Now I offer that to human beings. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. I'm saying that God, who is infinite, and God who's omniscient, and God who is love like the ocean is water, God love for eternity. And then God turns to each of us and says, I offer you now the love that was honed in eternal palaces. Thank you, John. John 17:15 says, glorify thou with me with thine own self. Oh, I love this. Glorify thou with me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And may I tell you, Brother Stan, you like this. May I tell you what that means? Jesus isn't saying glory like I was glorified. Remember the first time you kissed that little thing beside you, huh? And you said, man, that was glorious. That was glorious. And you said, that's what it's talking about. He's saying, Father, the fellowship and the love that we enjoyed in eternity before Bethlehem, it was glory. It was glorious. It was full of glory. And now he said, Father, he said, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The glorious time we had before the world was. The hallelujah time. The glory time. He said, then you have it back.
there in verse 22. He says, "And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them." I love it. I love it. "The glory which thou hast given me, I have given them." Look at me, folks. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. That glory that existed between the eternal Godhead before there was ever a foundation, before there was ever a tree, before there was ever a river, before there was ever an ocean, before a bird ever flew through the sky, or a fish did swim in the ocean, before there was ever a flower that bloomed, before there was ever a child born, before there was ever a creature on earth, that eternal love. He was glorious, and Jesus said, "Father, give me the glory days back." And then He said, "Father, thank You that You gave to My people the same thing You and I had together." Years ago, when Cindy was about 14, we were sitting at the kitchen table one night, as we often did, before going to bed and discussing life. Cindy said, "Dad, can a teenager have real love?" Now, boy, that's a tough one. I know what you'd have said. "Oh, that's just puppy love. I had a little boyfriend one time when I was your age, too." That's the dumbest thing you'll ever say. Brother, let me tell you something. When you're 14 years old, it is nothing unreal to you. And you need an answer. She said, "Dad," she said, "can a teenager have real love?" And immediately I said, "Yes. And I believe that with all my heart." I said, a teenager can have real love. And she said, then she asked the $64,000 question. She said, "Why can't I get married now then?" Ooh. And very quietly, I tiptoed to the cabinet. I got a little juice glass, about 4 ounces. Walked over to the faucet. Now, the Holy Spirit gave me this. I'd never done it before, never heard of it done. And filled that little juice glass full of water. I put it down on the table. I walked back over and got about a 12-ounce iced tea glass and filled it with water from the faucet, same faucet. I put it down beside the little juice glass. And I said, "Puddin', what's in the little glass?" She said, "Water." I said, "What's in the big glass?" She said, "Water." I said, "Which one is real water?" She said, "They're both real water." I said, "Puddin', a 14-year-old girl's love is like that juice glass. It's the same thing she'll have later, but not as much of it." But I said, "Don't you think?" I said, when you love your guy, and find your husband, I said, "You want to give him this little glass full of the real thing, or this big old tumbler full of the real thing?" And tears came in her eyes. And she put her arms around me. And she said, "Daddy, you're so smart." Well, Daddy wasn't so smart. Daddy was so dumb. But the Holy Spirit sure was smart. And I said, that's why teenagers shouldn't marry. I'm not saying you don't have real love, but I'm saying, listen, if before God made man, He spent eternity in preparation, and forgive this language because none of it can stand theological examination, because there's no language to describe what I'm talking about. You'll have to read between the lines. But if deity, if God's great, immeasurable love, and we cannot know the riches of the love of Christ, the height, nor depth, nor width, nor length, there's no way we can know or search the unsearchable riches of the love of Christ. But if God, before He made us, and before He showed His love on us, if God honed His love in eternity, loving the Godhead, don't you reckon, maybe, young people, you better wait till you get that glass full? There's some young people in this room right now, I believe with all of my heart, 12 and 13, 14 years of age, who love their moms and their dads with real godly love. They're saved, and God is love, and God dwells in them. And when Jesus said, "I've given them Thy love," He wasn't talking about just the old people. Children can have real love. I don't like this thing about puppy love. Listen, brother, old hound dogs have as much puppy love as little puppies do. There's some people in this room this morning, 65 years old, still got puppy love.
But I'm saying that this precious love that God gives these young people, the real, genuine thing,
though it's real love, it can get more of it. And more of this real love. And more of it. And more of it. Until that day comes. And Mrs. Colston plays. And somebody sings, "Because you come to me with naught save love." I love that line. I love that line. "Because you come to me with naught save love." That's like saying, "Because you come to me with no water but the ocean. No light but the sun. No air but space." Your father says, the pastor says, "Who giveth this woman in marriage? Who gives her right away?" And your father says, "I do," or "her mother and I," depending on whether he's henpecked or not. And he says, "Her mother and I do," because all men are henpecked. And then you reach up and take the arm of that guy. Let me tell you something. You wait till you get your glass full first. Well, you say, "How will I know my glass is full?" You let your preacher tell you when it's full. Let godly parents tell you when it's full. For eternity. God, him and now. God, love God. Listen, if you can sit here and listen to this and not tingle, I doubt if you know God very well. I'm telling you, boy, this is an amazing, marvelous, wonderful, glory truth that for eternity, God's love was in existence toward God. God loved God. Deity loved deity. Perfection loved perfection. Holiness loved holiness. Justice loved justice. Mercy loved mercy, and mercy loved mercy back. Love, love, loved in perfect love, 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 perfect love, and perfect love returned perfect love. And compassion loved compassion, and compassion returned love to compassion, and strength love strength, and strength to turn love to strength, and goodness love goodness, and goodness reciprocated love to goodness, and power love power, and power love power back. And now he who has that refined and honed love turns toward you this morning and says, "Look, I love you with a love that was honed in eternity, and I want you to be mine and take me. Love me as your own." 23 years ago today. 23 years ago today. We voted here at this church as to whether I stay or leave. 23 years ago, the 4th of July weekend, we set Sunday morning, 2 weeks later, for our time to vote to decide whether or not the preacher left. And that morning, many of you stood by a preacher you didn't know real well. You trusted me. And many of you, your own families were severed as far as your church relationship was concerned because you believed in me and what I stood for, though you didn't know me well. I'd come in here... changed a lot of things. Changed your Sunday morning services, for example. And people, good people, didn't understand it. And good people got upset. And good people decided they wanted me to leave. They got a petition up saying, "Sign here if you want a house to go back to Texas." I found it and signed it. Because I wanted a house to go back to Texas. We set this morning, 23 years ago today, to vote. 704 people voted for me to stay. 229 people voted for me to leave. 78% of the people. Now I say this, and please listen to me now. I'm loving you now. I didn't love you then as you deserved. Now follow me carefully. I didn't love you then as you deserved. But I possessed love. I had it. You weren't the object of it yet. But I had it. Listen to me. Do you know why God allowed my daddy to leave our home. And my mother turned her attention on me and literally gave her life in those days. All she had was her boy. You know why she started saying, I love you, son? I said, I love you, mother. You know why? God was preparing a pastor to love his people like I love you today. God was honing the love of a pastor. In a little shack of a place, or many a shack, in a little ghetto neighborhood of Dallas, Texas. And here you were, up here, many of you growing up, most of you not born yet. And yet God said in 1959, I want to send a man to Hammond, Indiana. I want those people to be loved. And God all that time was teaching me how to love. You know, when I left Miller Road Baptist Church, we pulled out of there August 23rd, 1959, 24 years ago next month. I thought I'd die. We stayed in the motel room the last night, but I didn't stay in the room. I drove all night long. I drove from house to house, right, one folks to Christ. I drove from place to place, stopped in front of houses and realized that my life would never again interact with those lives. I was gone. As a pastor, you can't go back. I told my folks, don't ask me to come back and preach your funerals. I won't come. Don't ask me to come back and preach your weddings. I won't come. It's just a slice, a clean slice, and that's it. It's almost like dying. And I love those people. Do you know why God let me spend in my late 20s and early 30s, 7 years nearly, starting a church and loving that church? Because God was preparing me or teaching me to have a heart of love. And God wanted me as my great life's work in Hammond, Indiana, to give and offer to my people the kind of love that they deserved. And though I did not love you as I should have 23 years ago, I didn't know you well. And we were so different from each other. But I had it. I had it. It was there. The great reservoir of love had been built all through those years. That's really what happens at the altar. A little lady says to a young man, I've loved my mama. I've loved my daddy. I've loved my brother. I've loved my sister. I've loved my grandfather. I've loved my grandmother. I've loved my friends. I've loved my preacher. I love my teacher. And now, all that love in one bundle is yours. It's yours. I don't see our kids much. Not because I don't want to, but because I'm not the big cheese anymore. My job's over. Listen, this is good. All of it's good, but this, I just thought of this. Whenever you say something good that you think of, that's good. Now, I've forgotten what I was going to say. Did you ever see Brother LeClaire? You're a sports fan. When they have a mile run, the guy who leads the first of the race is called the what? There's another word for it. Rabbit. I knew I should ask somebody smarter. He's called the rabbit. He runs a couple of laps and leads to keep the other fellows running good and fast, and then he drops out. That's what Daddy is. Daddy was the rabbit. See, Daddy says, come on, come on, come on. And then all of a sudden, here comes a good-looking boy. Well, in our case, it wasn't, but none of our sons-in-law are good-looking, but here comes a nice, good-looking boy. And Daddy says, and Mama says, and by the way, this is why some of you moms and dads wreck your marriage of your children. You're the rabbit, but you stay in the race. You trip up everybody's behind you as they pass you. But Daddy says, and Mama says, it's time you drop out now. That doesn't mean that they don't love Daddy and Mom anymore. That means that some that Mom and Daddy have been training and teaching and training and building a great reservoir of love so that someday that young lady can take a love that is the combination total of all the loves of life and say, here it is. You can have it. And one day, it never started, but you and I can't comprehend anything that never starts. One day God the Father said, Son, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. And God the Son said, Father, I love you. And Holy Spirit, I love you. And God the Holy Spirit said, Father, I love you. And Jesus, I love you. Was it 100 years? More than that. Was it 1,000 years? More than that. Was it 10,000 years? More than that. Was it 10 million years? More than that. Was it 10 billion years? More than that. It wasn't 20 years. It was eternity. And one day God said, I'll make man after my own image. And God turned from deity, said, here it is. My love completely honed for mankind. I can't comprehend anybody not being saved when you're the recipients of that great love. Our Heavenly Father,